This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 56 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I've had a few weeks off for a mid-year hiatus, so I hope you haven't missed the Thoughtful Travel Podcast too much, but we are back. And today, as a reward perhaps, I think I have a particularly interesting episode. It's all about unique travel and unique destinations. I mean, I love all kind of travel. I'm happy to hit up places like New York City or Paris as well. But one of the most interesting things I love to either do or hear about is traveling to more unique places that not so many people get to, and traveling for unique reasons, because I think often these kinds of travel make for the most interesting stories. And I think my guests today prove that pretty well. I was trying to think back on some of the unique travel that I've done, and what sprang to mind first was a week or so I spent on the tiny Irish island of Inishman. It's one of the Aran Islands off the west coast of Ireland, so kind of towards the middle of nowhere. And friends of mine were spending 6 months there, and we decided to go and spend a week with them. It's kind of place that tourists don't generally go. I think the population is 100 and something, under 200 in any case. And it's really a kind of a middle of nowhere place, and just amazing and fascinating, and I loved every second of it. I'll put a link in the show notes to my posts about Inishman. So those kind of unique reasons to travel and unique destinations, I think, really make for some interesting stuff. Excuse me if you can hear that crow squawking in the background. It's really crow season in my backyard at the moment. Sorry, technically they're Australian ravens. My dad always corrects me, but crow's just as easy to say. Now, anyway, today my first guest is Sharon Gourlay from Where's Sharon? So it's her first time on the Thoughtful Travel Podcast today. And she has recently been to a place I am intensely fascinated by, and for the same reason as Sharon. So she's just come back from a trip to North Korea. She and I both had previously visited South Korea and been to the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone. And that had sparked an interest in going to North Korea. But I haven't been yet, and Sharon has. Here's her story. I have long been fascinated by going to North Korea. I've never made it yet, but I was so jealous to hear that you were going to North Korea, and I want to hear something about your experience there, because it's just such a mysterious destination.
Yeah, you know, it's even mysterious when you're there. Like, I would say that I left with more questions than what I went with, and I went with a lot of questions, right? Like, wow. I don't understand it at all. It's such a different world to, like, anywhere else I have been. It's just fascinating. I find it fascinating. You know, like everybody seems to look perfect all the time. You know, there's not a hair out of place. They're in suits or like traditional dress all the time. Like everyone's so orderly and well behaved. You know, like there's quite a few people on bikes, and every single person will get off their bike to cross the road. Like, wow. Every person keeps to the rules with everything, it feels like.
Were you able to talk to any kind of proper local people, or was that kind of not
well, they don't really speak English. Yeah, and it's not that facilitated. Like, I caught the train in. So on the train, because you have to have tour guides the whole time. So we had a foreign tour guide, like, who happened to be from Australia.
Okay.
And local tour guides once we were in Korea, so North Koreans. Right. Or Korea, they call it there. You're not allowed to call it North Korea.
Of course.
Yeah, it's Korea or DPRK. On the train, though, we weren't guided like that. And there was locals. There was a guy who spoke English, so he was talking to us a fair bit. And, you know, he was pretty happy with his life there, and that there were lots of Korean people coming back. Apparently they'd just been allowed to leave Malaysia finally. A lot of them had been there after that assassination that happened there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So there was a lot of them there. And they were just all really happy to go home. You know, I think people can get surprised that the Koreans would leave and go back.
Yes. 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 But, I'm surprised to hear that, in fact. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's their home. I mean, probably what I found most surprising, really, was, and this sounds ridiculous, but that there's just normal people there. it's demonized so much. You just forget that it's just like mums and dads and kids and young people and old people and And, you know, it's just people going about life like we do. I mean, a bit differently because we're not so well behaved. Yeah, it's just, it's a different world. I kept thinking I was on the Truman Show or something, and I would see the same person like cycle past or something like that.
Yes, I know the Truman Show sprang to my mind as well. That's really crazy. When you choose a tour, so you have to go on a tour, right? And yeah. Are there lots of options? Can you see lots of parts of the country, or is it fairly restricted, or how does it work?
I believe there's lots of parts that you can go see. I mean, most people just do the main things because I think we mostly just sign up for a couple of days mm-hmm. to go. But you can do all different parts. Like I went with Young Pioneer, who I really recommend. They were fantastic. Like I know they have a diving tour now.
Oh, you can go. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not something so I expected.
I think they're pretty like happy to organise stuff wherever people want to go. I mean, because you can go arrange it privately too. So you have to have tour guides, but you don't have to be on a group tour.
So you can arrange a private tour guide just, okay.
Well, yeah, yeah. So you can kind of do what you want. And we would meet up with people that were on their private tours as well and or see them around. There's not many foreigners there, so you kind of like recognise people.
I bet, yeah.
Or you can go do the fun run. It's a marathon, but you can do a shorter version of it. So you could go do that.
What nationalities did you find were visiting the most?
My guide said that mostly it's Australians and Dutch randomly.
Really? How weird. Okay.
Everyone can go but South Koreans unless if they have another passport they can go, but you can't travel on a South Korean passport.
Right.
Americans can only fly in and out, so they're not allowed to catch the train. But otherwise there was like a real mixture actually. Our tour mostly had people from different countries.
Oh, it's fascinating.
and lots of Chinese go, but they have like their own tour, you know, their own tours in Chinese. But I mean, Chinese tourists would have to be the majority, I imagine. Oh,
yes, I guess, because they're right next door. Yeah. Just because it's such a mysterious place. A couple of highlights, like what were the things that you enjoyed the most or that impressed you the most?
It was actually just doing the normal local stuff. Like we went on the metro and we went to a department store and we went to like the local park where they were celebrating their public holiday by having a picnic with their kids, you know, like it was just doing the normal things. But I mean, it was still different and I don't know, it was just more interesting, you know, than like it's great. Like they have so many monuments. There's so much that looks really impressive there. But it was just the normal things that like interested me most.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that because it's, yeah, definitely different to home.
Yeah, and because it's like the different but the same, you know? Like
something you often learn from travel is that really people all around the world are all the same, basically. Yeah. But I feel the same that I would expect something about North Korea to be and North Koreans to be somehow very different and yet they're just normal people going about their lives just like we do.
Yeah, of course, because right when you analyse that, what would they be like, you know?
Yeah,
seriously,
oh,
what else are they going to be like?
Yeah, exactly. If you think about it harder, then of course they're just normal, but they just get off their bike to cross the road instead. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
That like embarrassing.
Like a lovely place.
Yeah, there is. And there's a lot of rules for you as a tourist, but mostly it's actually just about respecting their culture and keeping to their rules. You know, like, I'm not going to say that it's like, you know, I always felt a bit tense because I was worried I would do something wrong because, you know, there can be drastic punishments. Yeah. I mean, although our guides were always like, I think it was really good having an Aussie guy because, you know, he was like, you know, like an Aussie bloke, quite laid back, and it kind of helped you feel the same way.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble for something accidental, you know, like they understand.
Right. Yeah.
But I still found it hard to just relax completely.
Oh, yeah. I remember even just visiting the DMZ, the demilitarized zone on the South Korean side, and all the rules there about, you know, don't point, don't take pictures here. I can't remember, but I remember at one stage we weren't supposed to point, and I was just talking and waving my arms around, and the guide came up and said, stop, put your arms down. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not pointing, I'm just, you know, talking. And yeah, I know. So imagine feeling like that for your whole trip. Yeah.
Well, actually, on the North Korean side, it was interesting having done both sides because on the South Korean side, you feel like you do what you just said and you're going to start World War III, right?
Yes, that's how I felt, yes.
But on the North Korean side, they don't care. You're allowed to scream. You're allowed to point. You know, like the people yelling out, you know, Yankees go home. And
really? Oh, my gosh. So it's quite different.
Much more relaxed. Like it's very random. Like I kind of actually enjoyed visiting the South side first because like all that stress made it like this really bizarre, fascinating experience. Whereas on the other side, it was just like anything else we went and did.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. I really wanted to talk to Sharon for 2 or 3 hours about her North Korean experiences, but what I will do is leave a link in the show notes to the blog post that she recently published about her experience in North Korea, because it does explain a lot more things than what we managed to talk about during that short chat. While she was there, In fact, her Facebook profile disappeared, which freaked me out and some of our other mutual friends out. We thought, oh, and, you know, it's no contact. It was a little bit scary. We hoped that maybe she'd cancelled it or turned it, you know, deleted her profile while she was there. But no, it had just happened. So interesting stuff, but really fascinating and definitely unique place to go. Now, my next guest is also new to the Thoughtful Travel podcast, or for the first time today, and that's Abby Lutis. And I knew that Abby was very well travelled, and we talked about reverse culture shock and stuff in the past. But this particular unique reason for travelling was something that it was a complete surprise to me when we chatted.
I guess the other adventure that was pretty crazy was I was talent ID'd into the Australian bobsled team. And so there was a lot of sort of travel for that experience. We were trialing to attempt to get into the 2006 Winter Olympic Games. And
right.
There's nowhere to bobsled in Australia.
So no, this was... is like Cool Runnings, the Australian version.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a really crazy adventure. It was just really eye-opening for me. I think I was 23 and it was just a whole new world of going places. I hadn't done much travel at that stage, just more so with my family, and I definitely hadn't done any solo travel.
Where did you go to in this bobsledding career?
Well, firstly, on the tour, we went to Calgary, which is where I learnt, which is actually, you know, where the Cool Runnings is set. So
yes,
it was
surreal.
So first off, went and did some training in Calgary, then over to Lake Placid in North America.
Nice.
And then we came back and pretty much were on the World Cup circuit touring Calgary and then back to Lake Placid again before heading on out to Europe, where we landed in Germany and were down in Austria and then down into Italy, where we, you know, we went to the venue of where the Olympics was going to be. And yeah, it was just crazy. Like, it was just a whole new world to me with, you know, things that a world that I'd never interacted in. And
yeah,
like that
was
adventure.
That is really a crazy adventure. That's amazing. Did you enjoy the bobsledding part?
Oh, look, it was really, really fun. Like, it was very scary at first because
they go really fast, right?
Oh yeah, they go so fast, like, you know, 125 kilometers an hour at the bottom of the track.
Wow. That's okay in a car, but not in a bobsled. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, before I went, I was having dreams of what it was going to be like because, you know, I didn't experience it until we actually went out on the track in Calgary, and thankfully that's a fairly tame track.
Okay.
But,
good.
You know, everyone would say to me, you're going to have a crash, you're going to have an accident, and it's just a matter of time because that's what happens when you're new. And
yeah,
I was very anxious and nervous to have this moment. And, yeah, it wasn't sort of too long into the trip that we had a bit of a crash. And
right.
You just have to learn to you know, how to deal with that. And it was scary and it shook me up, but you just have to get back out there and go again. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fabulous. I'm very impressed by that. I'm happy to travel the world. I'm not going to travel as a bobsledder, I don't think. So I guess I've missed my time probably. I'm probably past it. What an amazing adventure.
Yeah, it was a really amazing adventure. And I think, like, one thing that I have learned about those types of adventures is that it's so easy to look back with reflection and just see, like, the amazing time and the pretty picture, and you look at the photos and you think, oh, that was really cool. And it's really easy to forget the challenges and the hard times. But if you really think about it, there are a lot of, you know, a lot of struggles and a lot of challenges. But I think it's a great way because, you know, you think back and you can have this beautiful idea of this adventurous trip that you had, you know, and without forgetting those challenges, which were the things probably, you know, made you stronger and made you have the growth as a person and challenged you. And yeah, so it's a really interesting way to travel.
Yes, I bet. Yeah, that's really fascinating. Wow, what a great experience. I always am really intrigued by those kind of stories where you travel in a completely different, you get to see lots of countries in a completely different way to the average person. So The lens of a bobsled training. Like, that's something that's really unique, and we'll definitely have a lot more learnings from it than the average trip.
Oh, yeah, so many learnings. And, you know, like, you do travel to lots of places, but the focus really is on, in that particular instance, was on the sport. And so, you know, it's a really different experience to go and travel in a competitive sporting setting than it is in a, I suppose, wanderlust setting, where you are just exploring and free-flowing and going with, you know, with your heart and just going wherever you want to.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. But you probably, you get a completely different insight into a place, and because you'll see some of it in the way the locals see it, or at least in the way the locals see it, you know, if they're sporting people or whatever, you get a completely different view of things.
Absolutely. We were having to find places to train and gyms and all that sort of thing.
I'm pretty sure that, especially as an Australian, you can't get a much more unique reason for travelling than to be training for an Olympic bobsled team, given that we don't really have much of a history of bobsledding down here. I mean, I come from the side of the country where we never even have snow or anything. So Abby's story was particularly interesting from that perspective. But also, it's such an interesting way to experience other countries. You're not there to see the sights, but you're there to do, well, a job, so to speak, and it involves getting to know sort of local parts of a country quite well. So I think that's a really interesting adventure, if nothing else. That was a great chat with Abby. Now, my final guest today is novelist Rachel Johns. And as many novelists do, she has to travel sometimes to various writing events, writers' festivals, and various other places like that. So you end up in some places that you probably ordinarily wouldn't travel. And that's exactly what Rachel's telling us about today.
So I think it was about 2 years ago, I got invited to go and do a reader weekend in a little place called Julia Creek, and it's in Queensland. I think I went Brisbane and then to Mount Isa.
Oh, okay, so right.
It was another three-hour drive, I think it was, from Mount Isa.
Wow.
So I'd never been anywhere. I mean, I write rural romance and I've lived in small towns the last 11 years and I love that country town community.
Yeah.
But I've been in places that are still relatively close to the city, you know, like the furthest I've lived away from Perth was 3 hours.
And, right, yeah.
You know, I've got family that live further out, but I've never been really outback until I went to this place called Julia Creek and had to drive, 3 hours from a smaller regional airport and still, you know. But the interesting thing about this place is in the Shire of McKinley, I did an event at the nearby town. So there was two, there's Julia Creek and another place, and it's slipped my mind, but it was the place where Crocodile Dundee was set.
Oh, right. Oh,
and
wow.
So we went to I did an event at the actual hotel, the pub that's featured in the
really
in the
movies. How cool.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was just, I mean, I was never really a huge Crocodile Dundee fan. I remember watching it, I think, when I was like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's totally cringy, but I have watched it numerous times, and especially to show, like, foreign friends and stuff. Like, it's, I don't know, I love to hate it or I hate to love it. I'm not sure, but, yeah.
I think that's the thing. So that was just an amazing place to sort of go. You know, I love the opportunities to go out to places like that. I've also been to the Clare Valley, but unfortunately, for a writing festival, but unfortunately often with these things, I'm just there for such a short time that I don't really get the chance to experience, you know, really what it's like. Often those places that I go, I think I want to go back there. So I'm building a list of places that I want to holiday one
day. Well, yes, exactly. At least it gives you a taste test and you can create your list. But, with the Julia Creek thing, that's you would never go there otherwise.
I would never. That's a place where no one would go, you know, unless they lived there or worked there.
But that's such a cool experience to have. I love that kind of stuff.
And it was fascinating because I was in a car again with a stranger. Both were, so one drove me from the airport to Julia Creek, and then someone else drove me from Julia Creek back to the airport. And these people I'd never met, and I was suddenly in the car with for 3 hours. And so fascinating stories too. And I've actually used some of the stories in my books that they told me.
Yeah.
And you know, there's others that's still in my head that one day they'll
find
come.
A home.
So So it's just all these opportunities to go different places, but also to meet people that live in different places.
Yeah.
That just can really spark creativity, I think.
It does sound to me like Julia Creek in Queensland, where Rachel headed, is one of those places That's a pretty unique destination and the ordinary person wouldn't get to. I did a bit of research about her time in McKinley at the Crocodile Dundee Hotel as well, and discovered that it's been renamed as the Walkabout Creek Hotel, just as it was named in the movie. And apparently some of the other buildings in the town were also in the film. So if you have seen that typically Aussie, well, I don't know, is it typical? But anyway, it's famous as an Aussie movie, Crocodile Dundee. Then maybe you want to check out McKinley and Julia Creek at the same time. Curiously, I also learnt that in McKinley, it has Queensland's smallest public library. So there's apparently that's an attraction as well. Who knew? Anyway, thanks so much for listening to episode 56 about unique travel and unique destinations. I would love to know where you have been that's unique or what kind of travel you've done that's unique. Best way to let me know is head over to our Facebook group. It's called Thoughtful Travellers. So there'll be a link in the show notes, or you can just head to Facebook and type Thoughtful Travellers and ask to join. Always lots of interesting discussion there. And let me tell you about some of our guests. I'll have all the links that I'm describing will be in the show notes at notaballerina.com/56 for this episode. So first up, I spoke with Sharon from wheresharon.com. And I'm going to leave a link to her post about things to do in North Korea. It describes her experiences on tour in North Korea in very interesting detail. It was amazing. Also leave a link to Young Pioneer Tours, which is who Sharon went with. She paid for the trip herself. This is not a commercial mention, but I was reading their website and it was just fascinating. They seem like a really interesting company. Sharon's also well known here in the blogging community for being one of those bloggers who's actually made a really good living out of it. So I'll leave a link to her post about making money from blogging as well, and her book, in fact. After Sharon, I spoke with Abby Lutus, and Abby does lots of interesting things these days, including some life coaching. And she especially works with people who've come back from living abroad or traveling for a long time and how they deal with re-entering life, kind of reverse culture shock stuff. So you can find her at abbylutus.com. She's ABBYLEWTAS, Lutus. And I'll also leave a link to her survey that she's running at the moment on reverse culture shock. I know if you're in the Thoughtful Travellers Facebook group, you've probably seen it already, but she's just trying to find some more people who have experience of reverse culture shock, and she's putting together some interesting results about what kind of problems we all face, because I know I had the same issues. And definitely not least, but last, I spoke with Rachel Johns, the novelist, and I will leave a link to her website, racheljohns.com, and to her recent novel, The Patterson Girls. You can always get in touch with me on Twitter as well, at Amanda Kendall, and use the hashtag ThoughtfulTravelPod. I look forward to chatting with you again soon. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.